So yeah, I was planning anyway to talk about the getting a bit more subtle with the idea of non-judgment and looking at how it relates to that quality of wisdom in the mind, because I think like anything, any quality or any point of view, if we get stuck in it or cling to it, then it can actually become counterproductive. So if there's just the idea of I shouldn't judge anything, then that can lead to a kind of lethargy in meditation. It says, oh well, it can lead to almost passivity. It's like, well, this is just the mind, this is just the mind. You know, don't judge anything, don't judge anything, you know. And it's okay, because actually that can be really useful, particularly when we've been spun out and busy and stressed. It's actually a really great quality. So, you know, I'm not saying that's not useful. But there's actually a way of almost like deepening the witnessing aspect, where the quality of non-judgment is balanced with discernment around particular flavors of mind. And again, I like to keep it really simple, so it's not any huge kind of map. It's basically just either one thing or another thing. So either mind states that lead to well-being, openness, relaxation, happiness, or mind states that lead to closed downness, dejection, fear, alienation, and you know, unhappiness. And you can basically divide the mind into those two. You know, there are states. I mean, obviously there are grey areas, but in terms of just getting a nice, easy way to work with it, there are those states which kind of close us down, which feel, you know, we feel shut down, we feel disempowered, we feel like we've lost connection, we feel like we've suddenly become very small and the universe has become very big. Or, you know, we've become kind of unworthy and other people have become the authority, you know, something like that, you know. So those states, and they always have a quality again of a body. There's a bodily reference to them, and it is a bit more subtle than extreme qualities when we get into this. It's just noticing how does our mind state move, whatever mind state we find ourselves in. And so that doesn't mean judge it. So there's actually a basis of non-judgment. So say I'm meditating, and then a sense or a feeling of resentment, an image, a memory of someone, and a conversation I had, an email they sent me, and there's resentment arising, there's a feeling in the body, there's a quality in the mind. And so still the space that witnesses that in an embodied way, staying with the breath, in a peripheral way, it's no judgment. It's like, okay, well, this is resentment. Hi. You know, welcome, resentment. How interesting. Thanks for visiting. You know, here it is. It moves like this, it does this. And so we're still aware and curious. Because if there isn't that, then we'll tend to just try and block it off. It's like, ooh, resentment, bad, go away. You know, give me the good stuff. And so that's the judgment that comes in. And then it's harder to actually see the mind if we've kind of just sort of chucked it in a cupboard. And then it'll pop out again. Hi, I'm actually still here. You know, as they do. So the space of non-judgment is that which is enabling the mind to just kind of be itself. And we're still in the center in meditation. And then The discernment aspect is like looking at the quality of it in a more, in its kind of basic sense. It's like just noticing, does this lead to my own welfare or harm? Does it actually feel good? If I grab onto this and follow it in terms of my orientation, what's going to happen? Or is there a way I can relate to it, which is looking for kind of diffusing the charge of it, looking for a more an alternative in a way, in terms of the general view. So, yeah, and just getting a bodily readout on that. So it doesn't, and you know, for each of us in each situation, it's not black and white, because often within resentment, there is a strength, you know, and actually there is a need for action sometimes. So, but it's looking at how do we relate to this in a way which actually makes it much worse, which kind of snowballs into, you know, I just can't even look at that person, I can't be around them because, you know, just flames will start coming up my head and my nostrils. And is there another way I can relate to this? You know, how do I make this more, how do I feel like I have a choice with this? How does it feel like it's coming from the center, you know, rather than feeling like a victim of these particular states? And so it's leading, we're looking at more, how does this lead, how can I work with this in a way that leads to openness, rather than just, you know, just following everything? Because that's when life just gets overwhelming, you know. States do that kidnapping thing, you know, they kidnap us and then, ooh, got no choice, and it starts to eat away at well-being, you know. Resentment can last years, decades, if it isn't handled, and it, after a while, it starts to be a bit of a drag. You know, a couple of weeks, it feels, yeah, I'm just gonna get into it, and then a couple of years, I wish I could let this go. You know, why is this still happening? And so the discernment is just being able to notice how, you know, in a very simple way, is this worth grabbing hold of, for example? Is this worth diving into? Or do I need to just really be cautious around this state? Is this something that I'd actually like to begin to handle in a different way? And doesn't mean judgment, it's just like wisdom. We're inquiring, you know. And on the other hand, states that arise that are positive, like things we haven't felt for a long time, can arise when we meditate. Just very core feelings of optimism or of kindness or of enthusiasm can arise. And then still, we're not kind of trying to say, you know, okay, I'm going to grab onto this because this is the right stuff and everything else is wrong, which is the judgment. But we can feel a sense of, all right, yeah, that's actually really positive. That's going to be really useful. That feels good. And so, can I expand it? Can I welcome it? Can I pervade the whole sense of presence with that and enjoy it? Which is a kind of, there's a discernment there. We're not just kind of being numb, non-judgmental meditators. You know, there's a wisdom in operation there, and that then is what carries over into daily life, because there's a sense of knowing ourselves. We begin to know how we react, how we get stuck, and also value certain qualities, certain positive qualities in meditation, and become interested in them, foster them, love them, you know. So there's that balance in, balance of when we sit, the mind can do whatever it likes, but in terms of our, it's like in terms of our orientation, what we actually are giving ourselves to, we can be discerning, right? If that makes sense. Because otherwise, it doesn't really transform patterns. Patterns, you know, or it doesn't empower us to transform them in a way, or to use the quality of choice that we do have. And at different times in life, in meditation, in situations, we'll be doing, you know, more of one and less of the other. So it's not a black and white thing. So sometimes all we can do and all that is required is just to not judge, you know. Just, yeah, it's like this, mind is crazy, I'm overwhelmed, can't do anything about it, you know, sweet. Mm-hmm. And the non-judging is actually, in a way, it's actually a really positive expression of doing something about it. It's doing non-reactivity with it. If that makes sense, we're actually doing something with it. We're not spinning out, we're not beating ourselves up, we're not, you know, feeling like we're a disaster. We're actually doing something, but in a very simple way, you know. So and then when things calm down, we can notice, well, how am I picking this up, how am I grabbing hold of this? And where do I have the choice not to? How can I choose to do something else, you know? And I think that's a really useful part of it too. And in terms of intuition, it's really useful to be able to know the kind of, know what we can trust in ourselves, really. And it basically comes down to that sense of a balance between witnessing and non-judgment, and but also engaging, you know, actually knowing that we have to use our minds, you know, that we can't just walk around in a dissociated state where we're just witnessing everything arising and passing, you know. It's like, hi, who are you again, you know. So we can use intuition to know what is, it's like, you know, gut senses, either negative or positive. Sometimes you have a really gut sense of, whoa, don't do that. You know, a decision arises or an opportunity, but there's a gut feeling of nope. And actually, you know, I really think it's beneficial to trust that. Meditation opens that up more because there's more of a clear sense of what's happening. Whereas if it's just peripheral thought, doubting, sometimes that, you know, it doesn't have the same quality of intuition. And on a positive side, sometimes we, you know, our mind will say, I really want such and such and this is good for me. But there's still a sense of, oh, I really don't know. But if we really feel yes, you know, you can feel it in the gut and the heart, then there's more of a sense, usually, that it's the right thing. Don't ask me why. It just tends to be that way. And so, you know, the overall perspective is still no judgment for what's arising, but we're strengthening the wisdom aspect, knowing what we can trust and maybe what we can't in ourselves. You know, what is not worthy of giving our trust to? The destructive, the afflictive, the self-defeating. Like, actually, maybe I just won't trust that. I won't give my life to that, you know. Why don't I give my life to more empowering and beautiful qualities that bring happiness, that bring well-being and good fortune? Why not, you know? And so that's the wisdom bit. It's kind of, yeah, getting wise to the mind.